1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Well, good morning. I come to you this morning as a new grandfather. Yeah, go Hogs. Yeah. Let me tell you how this transpired. I had just arrived at the office. I hadn't been here very long, maybe about 10 minutes. I get this message from my son in Searcy. And he says, we may be having a new grandson today. And I responded and I said, okay, keep me informed. A few minutes later, I get another message. We are definitely having a new grandson today. So I responded and I said, okay, we're on the way. Well, I packed up, I turned off and packed up my computer because I figured I may need to work a little bit. So I packed up my computer, got it all zipped up, went out, got in the truck, was driving out, and by the time I got up to the road up there at 112, I get a message. You have a new grandson. My response was, wow. Yeah. And that kind of puts it in perspective. Grand total between the first text that I received to that last text was 40 minutes. 40 minutes. And they didn't make it to the doctor. They didn't make it to the hospital. And I told my son, I said, well, you got to do something I've never done. And he said, yeah, he said, all I did was just hold her hand. And it said that she did the rest. But they did have EMS. They showed up. The fire department was there within 2 minutes because they just right down the street from the fire department. So they did have some help there. But they had the child in the house, in the home. And Mayvana, my granddaughter, they put her on the computer and she was playing games with the dog on the computer. And I'm not even sure that she even knew that much about it, other than that when my son walked in there and said, hey, you want to come see your new brother? She said, yeah. She went up there and looked, said, okay, and went back and played some more games. So, anyway, the drive down Wednesday was an adventure. It was very icy, very slick. I didn't get to go by the way of Interstate 40, which was pretty well clear that Kathy went. I went by the way of 112. Not a smart move on my part. To Mena. And then I turned up Highway 88, which was even a dumber move, because it was solid ice the whole way. The typical 30-minute drive from Mena to Pencil Bluff took an hour. So it was not a fun trip down on Wednesday, but it was better Thursday, and it was better Friday. So that's the way it went. So I have a new grandson, and so he's doing well. Mama's doing well. I had the man moment today because I had a lot of women coming to me and asking me, say, well, how much did he weigh and all this other. I don't know. Ask Kathy. 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 20 inches long. Ask her. Okay? I don't know. The only thing I cared about was, are they both okay? And they are. They're both quite good. And I asked Samantha, I said, how do you like this? You like this way better than the first way that you did it? Because the first way took a long time. I said, do you like this way better? And she said, oh yeah, I like this way a lot better. And it was much, much quicker, much faster. But there was no epidural or anything like that. There was none of that. So it was quick. It was in a hurry, and it's done. So she liked it much better. And she's not feeling bad. She was a little sore, but things are good. So I want to thank everybody for the prayers that y'all sent up. It went really, really fast. It was really, really great. And he's a good-looking kid. Looks just like me. Yeah, all swiveled up and prune-faced. So it's good. Everything is good. I'll be going down there again before very long, as most grandparents do. And so we'll be seeing him again very soon. So thank you again for all your prayers and well wishes, and thank you for to Manny to putting something together that quickly for Wednesday night. Because sometimes things happen and I've got to go, so I can't be here. So it was good to do that, good to be available. Today I want to talk about walking as children of light. That's what I want to talk about today. Walking as children of light. Now understand what being a child of light is. To be a child of light means that you are a child of God. That's what that means. That you are the light of the world. That people should see God in you. And too oftentimes, people don't see God in us. But that's what being a child of light is. That people see God in you. So I want to start off by telling you this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is important for us to know, important for us to understand. That as long as we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with God. And notice what it says here, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I've done lessons before dealing with light and darkness, and what light means, and what darkness means. Darkness is not turning off the light. Darkness is sin. Darkness is sin. Light is not turning the switch on. Light is righteousness. Completely, totally, without sin. That's why it says that God is light, and within Him is no darkness at all. There is no sin in God. None. And there are things in this world that I don't totally and completely understand. But one thing I do understand, and one thing I do know for a fact, is that God does not tempt. Temptation comes from darkness. Temptation comes from sin. God does not tempt us. He does not. And some people say, I am tempted by God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Any temptation that you have is of Satan. It is not of God. God cannot do that. God is perfect. God is holy. God is completely righteous. And in Him is no darkness at all. In order for Him to tempt, there would be darkness within Him. It doesn't happen that way. It does not exist that way. There is no darkness. That's why when we talk about being cast out into outer darkness To be cast out into outer darkness means that you are without light. Complete, total darkness. Now, I used to scuba dive a lot back when I was younger, a lot younger. I used to scuba dive a lot. And when I'd scuba dive, one of the things that we did one time was that we did what was called a night dive. We called it a night dive. And it was a very eerie feeling. Because they told us, now, when you get down to the bottom, which was 50 feet deep, they said, when you get down to the bottom, turn off your flashlights. And they didn't say anything. Just turn off your flashlight. Okay? So I was young and stupid. And I did it. I got down to the bottom and turned off my flashlight. Folks, that is outer darkness. There is no light. No light makes it down there. No light comes through. It is absolute, complete darkness. Have you ever been to Marvel Cave up in Branson, Missouri? They take you into this chamber and they say, we want you to see what they saw when they first came down here. And they had a little candle that was lit. And so they turn off all the lights and all you have is this little candle. And then they say, now blow out the candle. You blow out the candle, you cannot see anything. That's outer darkness. That is complete, total darkness. And in perspective of the scripture, that is complete, total unrighteousness. John tells us that Jesus is the light. That when Jesus came to this world, he brought the light with him. God commanded them to be light. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, let there be light. This was righteousness that was spread upon the world, upon the universe, was his righteousness. God is light. Temptation does not come from God. Temptation comes from Satan. Temptation comes from sin. Temptation comes from your earthly desires. Bring it home to you. Temptation comes from us. I've told you before, there are things that are tempted by you that tempt you that don't tempt me. I'm not tempted in that way. But on the same regard, there are things about me that tempt me that do not tempt you. You are not tempted that way. And I want you to realize that Satan is very smart. Now, he's not all-knowing like God is. Don't ever think that. He's not. He doesn't know everything. But Satan knows enough to find out how you are tempted. And what he does is he throws different temptations at you. If you say, well, I'm not tempted by that, then he'll throw a different temptation at you. Then he'll throw a different one at you. Until he finds out where your weakest point is. Notice in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted by Satan after he had fasted for 40 days. And at the point that he had fasted for 40 days, remember, he was hungry. Satan knew his weakest point. So what did Satan do? He comes to him and says, turn these stones into bread. And how did Jesus overcome every temptation? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. That's how we overcome temptation too, folks. is by God's word. So therefore, as you look at it and understand it, Jesus overcame all temptation by the word of God. We can do that too. But we are weak and we fall short. And because we are weak and because we fall short, Jesus Christ had to come to this earth and die for us. That's how it had to happen. Now, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And notice what it says, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, one of the things we need to understand is this. If you continue reading down through there, it tells us, but if we walk in darkness, we have no fellowship with God. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have a sin that is guiding your life. You ever think of it in that manner? That you may have a sin that is guiding your life. You may have a sin that you're putting before God, that you put before anything else. I know that there are people that are addicted to drugs or whatever it may be. They're addicted to these things, and their mindset is always on how can I get more? How can I get more of that? What do I have to do to get more of that? I used to do a jail ministry in Fort Smith, where I'd go to the Fort Smith County Jail and I'd preach to the inmates there at the Fort Smith County Jail. And one day it was very interesting. I never asked any of them why they were there or what they had done. I never asked that, never ever. But there was this one man there, great big tall black man. I made friends with him. He was a good guy. I really liked him. He always sat right there in the front row. I mean right there, I could reach out and touch him. Every day. He had his Bible with him. He'd read with me. He would do all these things. What a great guy he was. And I appreciated him so much. And he was at least this tall. And folks, one day, I don't know why this even came up, but one day, he said that we are all in here because of drugs. All of us. That's what he said. Now, I didn't ask. He just said it. And one guy sitting in the back, he said, nope, I'm in here because I stole. And he said, why'd you steal? He stole so he could get more money to buy drugs. That's what he said. Folks, realize that an addiction can cause you to do all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally do. To steal, to take, to do all these different things in order so that you could fulfill that addiction. Folks, sin can be an addiction. And if your mind goes to that sin all the time and you want more of it and you want to do more of it and you want to do this and you want to do that, then all you're thinking about is what can I do next in order to get to my addiction? And that's where you are. But realize if you are in that situation, that you've got some sin that's weighing on top of you, that's up over your head all the time, I want you to realize that you are addicted by that sin, and therefore You do not have fellowship with God because God cannot be with darkness. Darkness is in your life. You must get rid of that darkness and walk in the light as He is in the light, and then you will have fellowship with God. This is where fellowship comes from. This is where your relationship is. And that relationship gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Every time you overcome a temptation, that relationship gets stronger. And I speak to you today, not of one who says, well, that's what people say. I'm speaking to you today as one who has been there, one who has done it, one who has seen it work. The more you study, the more you want to study. The more you worship, the more you want to worship. The more you overcome temptation, the more you rely upon God, the closer relationship you get with Him. And this is something we all have to do. We all have to get to that point where we have that relationship with God and we walk in the light just as He Himself is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. Now, we ourselves are those children of light. This is important for us to know, because people see you. People know you. People see how you act. And that light, whatever light you're putting out, whether it be light or darkness, tells people who you are. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. You don't have to stand on a corner and shout out that I'm a Christian for people to know that you're a Christian. Matter of fact, if you're having to do that, then I've got some issues with you, probably. People ought to know that you're a Christian by what you do. People ought to know that you're a Christian by how you act. They ought to see it. And, folks, they see you on Monday. When, yes, Brody, we're all tired. They see you on Monday. And you wake up Monday morning, you walk in the office, and you're not feeling good, and you're tired, and you didn't want to get up this morning. And you walk in, and they see how you act. So they don't just see you on Sundays. They see you on Mondays. And if you want to know what kind of person a person is, take them on a trip. Get them away from their wives. Get them away from their families. Get them away from all these other people around them. And you can really see what kind of person they really are. Because then you find out what they really want to do. Do they go to church or worship on Sunday morning? Or do they skip out? You can really find out a lot about a person. Take them on a trip. We are those children of light. We are. And as children of light, we must walk as children of light. Now, this is how we should act. The first one there is that we should walk in all goodness. Now, I want you to understand what that means. To walk in all goodness means that we are to treat others as you would have them treat you. To walk in all goodness means if you find somebody in need, you help them out. To walk in all goodness means that you don't use foul language. You don't say bad words. To walk in all goodness means that regardless of what takes place in your life, you can still be thankful to God because God has given us salvation through His Son. This is walking in goodness. And secondly, as you notice up there, it tells us this, that we should walk in righteousness. To be like Job. To shun evil. To turn away from it. To not allow temptation to get a hold of us. And I've given you this hint before, but I'll give it to you again, that one of the things is know what your temptations are. Because if I know what my temptations are, I'm pretty good at avoiding them. Last night, I had the remote control. Yeah. Arkansas would get behind, the channel would change. Then I'd check back a little while later to see if they caught back up, and they caught back up, and I'd watch a little while, then they get behind again, channel change. If you know what causes you problems, then you don't go to those places. If you know what causes you issues, then you don't do that. And I've kind of learned along the way, it's better for me to have it on television than it is for me to be there. Because if you're there, you don't have a remote control. You have to watch the whole thing. Folks, I want you to know that regardless of what your temptations are, and all of us have them, all of us know where our weaknesses are. If you avoid those places, avoid those television shows, avoid the news broadcasts, avoid certain people, folks, the best way to overcome temptation is to not put yourself in a position where you can be tempted. Ever think of it that way? Don't put yourself in that spot. Then I don't have to overcome it because I'm not tempted. See? That makes it easy. Much easier than before. But to walk in righteousness means that I'm not walking in sin. And then the third one, notice this one, this is important. We all need to walk in truth. Follow the Scripture. Know the Scripture. Remember what I said just a minute ago in Matthew chapter 4? How did Jesus overcome all three of those temptations? He overcame all three of those temptations by the Word of God. You know what? We can overcome a whole lot by the Word of God. We can overcome false teaching by the Word of God. We can overcome temptation by the Word of God. We can overcome sin by the Word of God. And we can bring others to Christ by the Word of God. The truth will indeed set you free. And if you study it, you will know it. So look at these three things. We walk in all goodness of life, treating others the way that we should treat each other. We walk in all righteousness of life. We avoid sin. We avoid temptation. We stay away from these things. And then lastly, we walk in the truth of the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 says this. You need to learn, we all need to learn, what is pleasing to God. You never want to disappoint God. You never want to grieve the Spirit. You always want to do what is pleasing to God. Folks, we learn what's pleasing to God by the truth. We learn what's pleasing to God by having a relationship with God, by walking with Him, having fellowship with Him, to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. Avoid darkness. Seek what you can do to please God. Now, in closing, I want you to know this. I've mentioned this a few times, but it's always amazing to me because we are typically the only Bible people see. We typically are the only righteousness that people see. We typically are the only truth people see. That's why Jesus tells us that we are that light. We are that light. Because people see what you do and they respond to it. So, folks, my call for you today is this. Just as it says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine. Folks, go out in the world. Be the light unto the world. When darkness was upon the face of the earth for 3 hours while Jesus was on the cross, I want you to realize that the light of the world, which was Jesus Christ, as spoken of in John chapter 1, the light of the world took the darkness of the world upon Himself. That's why it symbolizes, in all respects, the darkness, the sins of the world came upon Jesus Christ. But what did He do with those sins? What did He do with that darkness? He took it to the grave, and it was buried there. And when He rose our King. He rose as a new creature. Just as we ourselves rise as a new creature, when we are buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection, we are sinless. We are holy. We are righteous. We are the light of the world. So today, let your light shine. If you have a desire today to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, putting Him on in baptism, being buried like Him, and being raised like Him in the newness of life, Today's the day. Follow through with that today. Come. All together we stand and sing.